This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. The chairman of the Republican Party in North Carolina, Robin Hayes, has been indicted on federal charges of bribery, wire fraud, and aiding and abetting. Political donor Greg Lindberg and two others were also indicted. The Durham-based businessman controls a number of companies, including insurance, healthcare, and service. So what does the latest scandal mean for the state GOP? And this week, the House Judiciary Committee authorized a subpoena for special counsel Robert Mueller's nearly 400-page report on Russian interference in the American election. Political junkie Ken Rudin is here to talk about that and more. Welcome back, Ken.
Oh, my goodness, Frank. Welcome back, indeed.
What a week. Let's talk about this scandal with the GOP here in North Carolina. What do you make of the indictment of Robin Hayes on bribery charges?
It's big. It's big news. First of all, it comes after that terrible scandal in the 9th Congressional District where they threw out the victory, apparent victory of Mark Harris for those illegal or tainted absentee ballots. And now you have Robin Hayes, the former member of Congress who has been a very successful chairman of the North Carolina Republican Party. He led to the election of Pat McCrory in 2012. He's very well liked. The thought of him being tainted with scandal, it just seems so unthinkable. And yet here he is, part of this apparent conspiracy to bribe the insurance commissioner, Mike Causey, to try them to get him to take some actions favorable to this guy, Greg Lindberg's companies. Greg Lindberg, the big donor we talked about, and to get rid of a department employee in Mike Causey's department who was giving Lindberg some problems. So not only is Robin Hayes involved in this, not only is Greg Lindberg involved in this, but there's also the possibility that Congressman Mark Harris,
Mark Walker,
who's a big deal in the Republican Party, he may be involved as well. Not good for a Republican Party who seems to be on the ropes, especially with so much at stake next year.
Well, you're talking about Robin Hayes' success. Success as a fundraiser, maybe now we know why. That looks like there's a little pay-to-play and quid pro quo that had been going on if these charges proved to be accurate, the idea of trying to corrupt the insurance commissioner. And apparently, the insurance commissioner, we should say, is not indicted and perhaps was involved in the investigation because as you read the transcript, you realize there are contractions, and can you know whenever you read contractions in a transcript? Electronic, there may be some electronic recording that's involved in this. So there might be a lot of good evidence here. Fundraising, then asking the commissioner of insurance to replace somebody who's been overseeing Greg Lindberg's companies.
Right.
Perhaps find somebody more favorable to his insurance company, which means the Republicans are playing favorites. They say we don't play favorites. We let, you know, the market go where it will. But his insurance companies would then be favored over other insurance companies who would face tougher restrictions.
And let's remember that Mike Causey is a Republican. It is not like Democratic operative who's trying to bring down the Republican Party. Causey is a Republican.
The insurance commissioner who may have helped investigators, we're not sure about that. Dan Forrest also implicated in this because we talk about the amount of money that Greg Lindberg has thrown into politics, and he has donated to Democrats, but far more to Republicans, including Dan Forrest. This is interesting.
And Dan Forrest is the lieutenant governor who is the likely Republican nominee next year against Governor Roy Cooper. The Republicans have so much at stake in 2020. First of all, the Republican National Convention is going to be in Charlotte. Tom Tillis is a top Democratic target, Senator Tom Tillis, who, remember, gave a great speech and wrote a great op-ed about the danger of Trump's emergency powers only to cave when it came down to vote. So you have Tillis up for re-election. You have the special election in the 9th congressional seat, a district that has been held in Republican hands since, I think, the early 1960s. And of course, you have a convention that's supposed to welcome the Republican Party to Charlotte, and yet you may have a very chastened, if not indicted Republican Party of the state.
Now, how does this really play out in the elections? Well, to talk about the upcoming special election in the 9th, tainted by the Republican candidate in that case, who seems to have possibly taken absentee ballots and tainted those. That's coming up soon. Then we've got 2020. Does this kind of thing really play out, or do people not really connect the two?
Well, if the Democrats are smart, they'll make sure there's a connection there. And certainly the special election on the 9th is soon enough to remind everybody that not only were the previous voting numbers thrown out because of tainted absentee ballots, but you have the indictments roiling the Republican Party. So I think certainly in the special that could be very influential in deciding which way the race goes. As far as 2020, look, you know, it's a lifetime from now. Every time we say that Donald Trump can't get any, you know, more controversial or do something more crazier, he managed to do it. And yet at the same time, his numbers haven't changed, basically, in the 2 years plus he's been in office. So what affects 2020? Who knows what kind of a Democrat, what kind of candidate will the Democrats put up? And already there are now, let me see, there are 4,911 Democrats seeking the nomination this year.
It's like a telethon. No, 4,952. It's just gone up. Our total has gone up.
Okay. I'm sorry. So who knows? But it's not good news for the GOP.
No, well, I'm going to skip down to the issues then that may play a role. If we looked at 2018, we were told that one of the reasons for the Democratic sweep in 2018 was health care. That's an issue that's on everybody's mind. It perhaps the government does have a role to play in health care. We look at other countries where there is a single payer, far better coverage, far better insurance, and far cheaper per capita. It's just that's what the data show, that it's, you know, you get better outcomes and you pay less. If you have that kind of thing, people are coming to this conclusion, if 2018 is any indication.
That's then absolutely true. I think if you think of the two things that I think of 2018, certainly it was a blowback, pushback against Donald Trump, but it was also on health care. Republicans all along and said, let's get rid of the Affordable Care Act, so-called Obamacare, which means also saying, let's get rid of pre-existing conditions as a part of the coverage. So, and the Democrats jumped on it, rightfully so, because it was clearly a winning issue. And I think they won. And I think that's even happened like the other day when Trump went to a court and said, look, I want you to get rid of the entire Affordable Care Act and we'll have a new plan. And Mitch McConnell said, wait, what new plan? We don't have a new plan. And so now Trump is saying, and now exactly what he said 4 years ago. Yeah. If you elect the Republicans in 2016, you'll have great health care. And now he's saying if you reelect me in 2020, you'll have great health care.
You'll have the same great health care that you don't have now. Just wait and don't see. So this flip-flop that he's done, Mitch McConnell pulling him aside, saying, please don't talk like that, you're hurting our party. And here in North Carolina, we've seen indications now, Republicans talking about expanding health care. They will not use the M word. They won't say Medicaid.
Right.
But they talk about expanding health care. There was a bill that did make it at least into committee. It's looking at ways of expanding health care for a certain subset of the population. There had been a rumor that there was going to be talk about a larger expansion and a news conference that had been scheduled to announce the Republican plan for expanding coverage was quickly and at the last minute canceled. Is this a suggestion that here in North Carolina, too, that Republicans are having to remember this is one of the few states that actually refused to expand Medicaid at the cost of tens of millions of dollars to our economy and leaving 500,000 North Carolinians uncovered, right? Are they starting to hear the footsteps?
They sure had better, because you're absolutely right. They looked at 2018. They looked at the blowback that Trump got from fellow Republicans when he said, okay, we have a new plan. We're going to get rid of our pre-existing conditions. And now the lawmakers in North Carolina are talking about more money for the disabled, for example. They have to know that, look, it's also the right thing to do. I mean, it's not only just a political plus, it's the right thing to do. Sometimes they go hand in hand. And I would have to say that the Republicans in North Carolina, obviously looking at tea leaves, obviously looking at polling, obviously listening to the people back home who say that you get rid of this, you know, you're out of business, you're out of power politically. And so I think that they are listening very closely.
All right, let's move to Washington, D.C. House Judiciary Committee voted to subpoena the full, unredacted version of that special counsel report, Robert Mueller's report on the Russian influence in our election.
Well, see, the thing is, I mean, William Barr, the Attorney General, says he's going to release it soon. Of course, he'll take that. There'll be redactions, and he'll cut out some things that may be sensitive to national security or to grand jury testimony. But basically, the way the Democrats are looking at William Barr is like they look at him as somebody who's covering up what the Mueller report actually said. There are some reports that said that some Mueller investigators say that what William Barr said in his four-page summary has nothing to do or little reality to what they came up with their conclusions in the report itself. And the Democrats, who are basically yelling, you know, whitewash and cover up, they're saying we want to have the whole report. And, And again, you know, I guess some of the more aggressive members on the Democratic side said, we're not going to take Barr's word for it. This is a guy who has been, in their words, protecting the president. And so we got to have a full report.
All right. Well, let's move back to the elections. Just checking the totals now. Oh, Ken, we're up to 5,752.
I know.
Totals. Keep calling in, folks.
Right.
The hit lines are open. So, well, listen, let's talk about this, though. I think this is fascinating. Several women have come forward to accuse former Vice President Joe Biden of inappropriate and unwelcome physical contact. Wednesday, Biden posted a video on Twitter acknowledging that social norms have begun to change. He promises to be more respectful and mindful. I mean, this is fascinating. Here you've got a guy who hasn't even declared yet, sort of in this moment. Is this will this be a cloud that maybe pushes him one way or another on a final decision?
Everything I'm hearing is that he is running. The fact that you're having his people defend him with you know, full explanations of what he did. Look, everybody knows that Joe Biden was a touchy-feely, huggy, and kissy kind of guy. And, you know, in the old days, everybody would roll their eyes and say, you know, that's Uncle Joe being Uncle Joe. Nowadays, suddenly we realize, oh, wait a second, women may be feeling uncomfortable with this kind of touchy-feely stuff. So Biden is finally getting the message. I don't know if it's too late. But I also think, I mean, not to do on the other hand, but for Donald Trump and Donald Trump Jr. to attack Biden on Twitter and Facebook and mock him, I mean, shows an amazing lack of self-awareness on the Trump's part. I mean, he's naming Herman Cain to the Federal Reserve Board, who was forced out of the 2012 election because of sexual allegations made by so many women. But
Ken, what we need is a one-handed Ken Rudin. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, God.
Ken Rudin is the political junkie. Just ahead, new Republican sheriff of Henderson County grapples with his relationship with ICE. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.